Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 20th. Joining us this morning is the airport dude for Humboldt County, Cody Raggetts. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you betcha, betcha, betcha. Anything so we don't need Foster, right?
You said it, I didn't.
No, but you laughed, so we're together standing side by side.
I hope he's laughing listening in at his desk.
Yeah, yeah, not driving across Fernbridge at the moment.
Yes.
Huh? All right, are you ready for our question for this morning?
I'm never ready for that, but let's do it.
All right. Why do Chinese traditionally eat with chopsticks?
Isn't that part of Japanese culture? I'm not sure.
According to one account, a Chinese emperor once was so feared a public uprising that he ordered his troops to collect all metal implements that might be used as weapons against him. This, of course, included the metal eating utensils then in use by the Chinese population. Deprived of their knives and forks, the Chinese people, it said, learned to eat with narrow sticks that they cut from bamboo trees, thus giving birth to chopsticks.
Yeah, and the funny part is, here in 2021, every time I try to use those myself, I still struggle, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's your Midwest upbringing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Look, let's share our meal. Boing! A little flip of the wrist, and there he goes.
Absolutely, absolutely. <Yeah.
laughs> Well, I'd like to say what's been new, but it seems as if scramble is kind of the... current mode of operation, huh?
Yeah. We've been very excited and obviously very busy with the launch of two new airlines earlier this year, Avelo starting May 19th and American starting June 3rd. And now we have another new airline joining us next month on November 9th and a new route from a current carrier, Avelo, starting direct to Las Vegas service November 18th, the week after. So,
now you slid past the one area that you know I have to ask about, right?
Sure, sure.
Can you say anything, or you have to wait?
Oh no, we have publicly announced. November 9th is another new airline. Their management team all have a lot of experience with different airlines throughout their careers, but. ExpressJet is the name of the carrier, and the branding is AHA Airlines. ExpressJet used to be a very large regional carrier, like SkyWest is for United,
right.
And they primarily served United, but a couple other airlines as well, and primarily out of Houston. But yeah, they're revamping and beginning service out of Reno Tahoe International to 8 destinations.
Yeah. And international?
Yes.
Reno International.
Yes, okay. Yes. And we're one of their, lucky enough to be one of their 8 launch airports that they're beginning service from.
So we're going from 0 to 2 airlines going to Reno?
Nope, we have just the one AHA going to Reno. ExpressJet AHA is a partnership.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Avelo, our current carrier that's serving 4 days a week to Burbank, we'll be starting 2 days a week to Las Vegas on Thursdays and Sundays, and that begins November 18th. So it's the growth continues, and
everything's south.
Yes.
Is the Northwest just so screwed up now that who in their right mind wants to fly into Portland? Is that kind of the mindset?
You know, there's 2 areas or 2 airports that we've really been pursuing strongly, you know, for many years, including before I got here. But, you know, Portland or Seattle would be the ideal.
Yeah, SeaTac would be the logical one because right. You go across the top of the country then.
Right, right. And SeaTac has a lot more international options and just a lot more connectivity.
And better
overall.
Food, too.
Yeah. I used to live in the Seattle metro. I haven't explored Portland's dining options as much. But, yes, I do love the Seattle metro. And SeaTac's a beautiful airport to connect through. But, of course, like a lot of the large hub airports prior to COVID, they were going through some growing struggles. Delta has really expanded there in the last 10 years, and you know, they're handling it, but that limits some of the growth opportunities. And we're trying very hard to sell ourselves to Alaska or Delta would be the
connecting partners. Yeah, Alaska is the logical one, isn't it?
Yeah, and Alaska was really, really popular here locally.
Yeah, that, I That was the one I preferred.
Yeah, yeah. In Alaska, the cool thing about Alaska in I believe it was June, they officially kicked off their partnership under the One World Alliance with American Airlines. So if we were successful in getting Alaska, you know, people could get a frequent flyer card for either airline and then utilize those miles to go either direction once they built them up. So it would be a logical partnership, and we're still talking to Alaska officials constantly. Greg and I have a meeting with them here in a few weeks, and, you know, we're still trying to finalize that, but we hope next year or 2023 at the latest to be getting that northbound route as well.
What is the capacity, carrying capacity for the airport as it is now?
That's a great question. We at times already are kind of pushing those boundaries.
And everybody seems to want to, the flights all seem to be at the same time, which if you sit in an airport, you can see the waves coming through.
Yes, yes.
But that's an individual airline rather than multiple airlines. So I would think somebody would stagger and just be maybe an hour and a half off.
Right, right. And at the large airports, you know, San Francisco, Seattle, Phoenix, Denver, what the big airlines do is they do connecting banks. So every 2 hours they're bringing airplanes in, you know, smaller regional jets, like they typically fly to markets like ours, Medford, Santa Rosa, so on and so forth, and bring all those passengers in close to the same time frame to get them on the bigger aircraft, you know, the 737s, the 757s, so on and so forth. So that's why you see those waves at larger airports. With us, the challenge is you know, our terminal was last expanded in the 2008-2009 time frame, and it wasn't really designed for handling 737s with 189 seats. We are making it work. You know, we've worked very closely with the airlines on their schedules, but they want to utilize schedules to, you know, maximize their revenue.
Sure.
And connectivity for passengers when they get onto those large hub airports. So
these flight banks are all pretty much like industry standard times?
It is for the large carriers, the hub and spoke
carriers. Everybody's,
yeah, Alaska.
That's why you see everybody doing the sprint.
Yep, yep.
Running for different airlines.
Alaska, United, American, Delta, all of them utilize that hub and spoke system.
You'd think if somebody wasn't at capacity, they would come in half an hour later and pick up everybody else and connect them that missed. Just a thought.
Yeah.
You can suggest that one to Alaska, too. It's 819.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 824. We're back talking shop this morning with the airport dude, Mr. Cody Raggetts. Cody, the concept of what the airport looks like today versus what it did 25 years ago, or let's call it when the banana was flying.
Yep.
And then we push forward 25 years from now. Okay. Parking is probably still going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Accessibility is probably an issue. And I would suspect, unfortunately, that the lack of a restaurant will still be an issue in 25 years. As you look at the facility as it is today,
mm-hmm.
I gotta think that there's some low-hanging fruit there that you could pick off and it wouldn't cost, let's say, over $500,000 in total to be able to do 1, 2, 3, 4. And it would make the experience so much more positive.
Yep.
For the marketplace and would pay for itself. What's the holdup?
So What we're working on right now, Brian, is a planning project for the terminal area itself. The holdup, you know, the low-hanging fruit that you mentioned, we are working to get an RFP out the door. Unfortunately, Ramon's was in the terminal and did provide, you know, great breakfast and lunch-type options throughout the day to our passengers. That space has been vacant since they left shortly after COVID impacted us with a 95% downturn in our passengers. And I think that's step 1A, you know, to get those amenities, you know, start addressing
down
those.
Low, like the little
the cafe space.
Yeah, yep. Rather than the upstairs space.
Yeah, the problem with the upstairs space is, as you know, the county has been addressing some significant shortcomings when it comes to ADA compliance, and that goes across county facilities all across the county. And we have, you know, some accessibility issues with people getting from that first floor to the second floor.
Isn't there an elevator?
There is. It's quite dated, like that part of the terminal is, and so there's about $100,000 to $150,000 in modifications needed just to the elevator, and that's not addressing all of the accessibility issues. So we're starting to do a little bit of that. Actually, with the microgrid project, we'll be doing some installations of EV charging stations out in short-term parking. And with that, we'll also be doing some flat work and redoing how people enter the frontage of the terminal as far as walkways and things like that. So we're starting to chip away at it, but we do.
Do those electric things pay for themselves, or are those freebies from PG&E?
So actually, that's through our partnership with RCEA. So RCEA is paying for the installation cost of that through a variety of funding resources that they've set up. But we aren't having to pay for the EV charging install at all. That's
just
part of the bigger
landing
microgrid.
Spot. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. We are investing some county funds in that flat work and redoing those accessibility issues out front and partnering with the county's ADA office on that, Karen Clower and others on that team. But, yeah, it's chipping away at those small things. The reason we're not getting super aggressive right away is because we really need to get those plans set up for the future. So you asked about, you know, what is it going to look like 25 years from now? And unfortunately, the planning wasn't there previously. And so we're working together with the community on that. And we'll be doing community outreach efforts, not just for the ACV airport, not just focused on the terminal, but for the airport as a whole, and also Murray Field, Ronerville, Garberville, Neyland, and Dinsmore, and trying to see where we prioritize our projects and our needs for all six airports across the system.
Now, you mentioned Ronerville. I've heard that there's a potential large development happening down in the Fortuna area on the mill site that might involve the airport. Are you guys getting any whispers? Any? You're looking at me funny, so apparently I've gotten close to something.
No, I'm looking at you funny because I haven't heard about that specifically.
Because you would think that Ronerville would be the ideal one for, like, the FedEx guys and the UPS, you know, anybody that's bringing in or taking out commercial stuff, just because it's so much more dependable weather-wise.
It's a good alternative for them. However, a lot of times when they come in, they try to come into Murray Field, and that's, you know, UPS specifically, FedEx, their regional carrier typically comes into ACV. UPS will try to go into Murray Field. If the weather's inclement, they'll come up to ACV because of those more sophisticated approach systems.
Just because it's a little bit closer to the home?
The core. Okay. So most of their, you know, customer base is obviously in Eureka and the immediate surrounding areas. Fortuna is a good alternative for them, like you mentioned. You know, part of what we'll be exploring in that planning process is the approaches that we offer at each airport. You know, right now, as I said, we have the most sophisticated approach for aircraft to come in during inclement weather up at ACV. But we'll be exploring, you know, is it a possibility and a realistic possibility for us to expand those offerings to some other airports in our system?
Yeah, yeah, particularly if there's demand.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you know,
there's probably a connection between the two.
The great thing about Rohnerville is there's a lot of open space down there, so there's a lot of potential for development. You know, Eureka's a little more complex as far as how compacted Murrayfield is, and it's a smaller space. But certainly Rohnerville and McKinleyville's airport, you know, there's a lot of open space, and that creates a lot of opportunity.
I was going to ask you, why do they still call it Eureka Arcata?
So technically the name is the California Redwood Coast County Airport.
I mean, it's ACV, right?
Yes,
You
yes.
see it on the things that says Eureka Arcata. Why doesn't it just say McKinleyville?
So actually, American Airlines went a little different. So if you fly to Phoenix on American, or you're flying back here on American from Phoenix, you'll see on the board it says Humboldt County.
Yes, perfect.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Keep it short and,
we'll work
and
on
focus
it
on the Humboldt County. Absolutely.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
I know.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the guy who's in charge of the Humboldt County Airport. It's
Ports.
Now Humboldt County. No, no.
Yeah.
Not Eureka Arcata. It's now Humboldt County. You know, you'd think that they could go like HCV or something like that. That would just, I mean, there's got to be a combination that has Humboldt County in it. It's kind of like radio station call letters.
Right.
You spend enough time, you're going to find something that makes sense.
That sticks, yeah. And the funny part is, Brian, when I interviewed for this job back in 2018, I actually stumbled on saying the entire name, and somebody on the panel pointed that out. Like, yeah, that's all right. I can't get the six names straight either. So.
Yeah. Yeah, ACV is just easier, even though it doesn't mean anything to any of the local landmarks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder, what does the V stand for?
You know, a lot of those three-letter identifiers go back to the 1930s and 40s.
Right.
And of course, ACV, the Humboldt County Airport up in McKinleyville, has a long history that goes back to that time frame, you know, leading into
or
during
the,
and after.
The V like military?
No, I think it was just the Arcata piece, you know.
Okay.
I don't think McKinleyville back then
was
well-established community, so I think they were trying to get something close to that Arcata and use some of the letters there. I don't specifically actually know where the V came from, but a lot of times that third letter is just random. You know, it doesn't have an association, but they have to make them different for every airport, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are some that just make a lot of sense, right?
Right. Right.
The SFO, DFW, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yep.
Duh.
Yeah. And the most interesting one I've seen is actually Sioux City, Iowa. Their airport three-letter identifier is SUX. So I'll let you say that one out loud.
Sioux.
Okay, that's better than how I'd say it.
I mean, you know, if you know how the Sioux Indian tribe, you know, is spelled.
Yep.
Sioux.
Yep.
Yeah.
My dog at home
point?
Yeah. My dog at home is actually named Sioux, S-I-O-U-X. So.
Oh, yeah. That's S-O-O or S-U-E.
Nope.
Had to be weird.
Well.
Gotta love it.
That.
Yep. Parking lot is seems to have been a bone of contention for ever, maybe. Mm-hmm. Going to fix it up, going to do this, going to do that. Private does this. They set the rates. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Multi-level, not multi-level. Blow it up, tear it down, start all over, relocate it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Has there been any settling on the airport to be able to expand capacity and then not have people running through gales in the wintertime and then just be sitting a wet, soppy mess on their flight?
Absolutely. And going back to something I highlighted earlier with that planning project, the thing that I'm most excited about, I mean, I'm excited about trying to set the future plans for infrastructure development at all of our airports. But because of the growth we talked about earlier that we've experienced in the airline traffic at ACV, really we're experiencing challenges from parking aircraft all the way on out to what you mentioned, and that's customers coming to the airport or getting back to their vehicle. There's been times where we've gotten right up to capacity already in September, and that's unprecedented. We certainly see those.
Oh, really? It hasn't been you get the impression that it's full pretty regularly.
Yeah, it's actually, at least in my 3 years and looking back at our passenger numbers, it would only get up to that capacity level or right to that line during the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday time frames when we'd get that influx, as most airports do. But now we're experiencing that on random weekends in September and October. So as we add that Vegas route, you know, that's certainly a lot more seats, about 350-ish more seats each week. Reno, that'll be another 150 seats each week. So we're going to experience that, I think, even in our slower time frames each year. We do have some short-term plans, you know, to address some overflow needs
with
different spaces. We have an overflow lot actually off of Badsgard there over by the microgrid development. So that's one tool we can utilize. We also have a couple other empty spaces that we can utilize that are short walks still to the front of the terminal. But long term, going back to that planning, you know, we'll be looking at that parking lot and hopefully investing here in the next 3 to 5 years to start addressing that.
You know, I just was thinking, so you kind of have it on a step now, right?
Yep, yep.
So you got the lower lot and then the level lot. Logically, you're going to have lower, even, and then an upper, right? Mm-hmm. So you got three tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Betcha, if that happens, somebody's going to be moaning and groaning that the view, when you come out of the airport, now you can't see the ocean. Bet you dollars to donuts. Yeah. That would be, somebody's going to make that comment very aggressively and very emotionally.
Yeah, and part of that planning process is really the community involvement. And, you know, people, we encourage them to participate in that and share thoughts and concerns they have about ideas we're discussing for the future. I don't think we're going to get to a place where we're looking at a multi-level facility.
You think just more land?
Yeah, I think we do have quite a bit of land that the county already owns out in that area that's currently underutilized or not utilized at all.
You mean like the maintenance buildings?
Some of those older facilities that are left behind from those military time frames 80 years plus ago. So, you know, looking at redeveloping
this is a yes
those,
or no, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish it could be. Okay. But yeah, to really try to maximize the federal funding participation, we kind of have to jump through all of these hoops on the front end to, you know, get that grant.
But
money.
Surface lots are preferred. I know they're less expensive.
That's,
but the other way, you could sell some space, which I guess gets into the business park discussion after the break.
Yeah, and we'll be doing a business analysis. I don't want to say we're not doing a multi-level, but it'll be an option that's considered. It's just when you start building concrete structures like that, you know, seven figures gets swallowed up really quickly, and you're looking at eight figures, you know, more than likely once you start going up.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Raggetts from Humboldt County's airport system.
There you go.
Business park, often talked about, often lauded. Any movement in that direction? Because, as you had indicated, Cody, it's a big chunk of property
mm-hmm.
that has a lot of people coming through it, but don't really spend an awful lot of money that goes into the local coffers.
Sure, sure.
Okay, and you've got the frontage out on, I guess it's still Central.
Yep, Central.
Out on the far side of the field where the deer and the antelope play.
On the east side,
you know,
yep.
That could be, I guess, could be used for something. I don't know what, but it's not like we need more more office or retail space in Humboldt County right now. But, you know, who knows what tomorrow might bring.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff that's there. If you Etch-A-Sketched, how different would it look? Would you have more buildings, less buildings, more vertical, more horizontal? What would that airport look like out in McKinleyville as contrasted to what there is today?
Yeah, so I'll start with the business park topic that you brought up, Brian. So there's kind of two components to that. As I mentioned earlier, we have a lot of property. The county has a lot of property at the ACV airport. We also have a private owner adjacent to us that has developed the Holiday Inn and some of the other retail and non-retail business park-type options there below the airport down towards the 101. So I think, you know, we'll see what they choose to develop down that direction. But I think there's opportunities for us to hopefully create some revenue generation for the airport and take some of those open fields. And maybe some of it is expanding parking lots, but maybe some of it is trying to get some retail or hotel or, you know, exploring all options to see what maximizes our revenue for that empty space.
Do some airport district, I guess, would be run hotels?
They don't run hotels.
Or lease them out?
Yeah. What they typically do is they lease the land to a hotelier, you know, so okay. Somebody that has the you know, professional level
desire
expertise.
And expertise, yeah,
yes.
And money. Don't forget the money part,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, to build something like that, and the airport will lease the space. And most often how those are set up is the airport gets a certain percentage of the gross receipts that the hotel takes in. A prime example that your listeners might be accustomed to or familiar with, San Francisco just built a very elaborate, very nice facility with all kinds of meeting spaces down there. And to my knowledge, the airport didn't invest in that. It was a private entity, but they leased the space to them, and I think it has even direct connection into the terminal. So
a tunnel or something?
Yeah, so you can stay at night, and if it's not a direct connection like a lot of large airports like San Francisco have, I'm sure they have a shuttle to take you up to the front door.
I hadn't even thought about a conference center, but you know, as it's been kicked around and kicked around and kicked around.
Right.
Now, I don't know if the convention business is going to come back or not, but you would think that there might be an opportunity for something along those lines.
Yep. And really, like you identified, it's finding the right partner that wants to make that investment and sees the business value in doing that. And it's not the airport or in this case, the county trying to get as much revenue out of it as possible. Are we trying to do that? Yes. But you want to establish a partnership that's mutually beneficial for both parties.
So it's a Mosier that still owns the property?
Yep.
Is there back and forth? I mean, is this going to be a coordinated effort to kind of be complementary rather than you step on his toes or vice versa?
You know, I haven't really talked to Steve directly about this. I know he has space down there that he has available for development. It's just doing that planning piece, and I certainly hope Steve participates with that amongst the whole McKinleyville community. But it's kind of a smaller version of a community plan, if you will, for the airport. So what would we like to do with those properties? But then, of course, the next step is finding that partnership. And maybe or maybe not, Steve is a part of that partnership. So.
The other thing that is probably topical for a lot of folks are the solar panels.
Yes.
Are those in? Are they doing what they should be doing?
Yep, they're in, and that whole project is state-of-the-art, and we're fortunate to have the Schatz Energy Research Center right there at HSU, and they're really leading that industry, and this was actually kind of an experiment, research and development on their part, if you will.
Did the monster live?
It did.
All right. So
we have they are making the final configurations and testing of that system here over the next 2 to 3 months.
So it's almost there.
Yep, everything's installed, but they need to really prove the system to PG&E before all lights are green and we're moving forward.
Good deal. That's always a positive thing. Green lights, not red lights.
Absolutely.
At an airport. Yeah. Thanks for coming by, bud. Nice
Thank
to see you.
Again. Appreciate it.
See everybody tomorrow.